Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome back to the second DC Cyber Update with Chuck Brooks. Welcome today, Chuck. How are you?
It's great to be back. Good to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'd like to start. I think a lot of things are happening in Washington. Last time we spoke, the election was still not undecided.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's been a victor, and now there's a replacement of a lot of the key personnel. So that'll factor on a lot of the cybersecurity and national security issues.
So what are you hearing that is the most standout? What do you think?
Well, I'm looking, you know, from a perspective of the newest appointee at Homeland Security, General John Kelly. And mm-hmm. I know several people that know him well. Highly respected, they say he's a general's general, and that his goal is to get things done. So the real question is, where are his priorities? Obviously, it's going to be border and immigration, counterterrorism, but I think cybersecurity is going to be up there. There was a report that was just submitted that was requested by the Obama administration that laid an outline for public-private partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And this will probably be the early standard of which things are addressed to. It's still too early to tell what's going to be the Trump cybersecurity policy, but by the appointment of John Kelly, I think whatever it will be, it'll be someone that's going to basically make it happen.
Okay. So, you know, I've heard a lot about critical infrastructure being a focus of the Trump administration. Anything in that area?
Well, that also coincides with the report. Critical infrastructure is really the medium between the private sector and the public sector, since the private sector owns about 85% of that critical infrastructure. So, yes, President-elect Trump said that he's going to make an investment in infrastructure, and what that infrastructure will probably be the healthcare infrastructure, the financial infrastructure, and, of course, the general transportation infrastructure. So all those are connected more and more by cyber issues, particularly the Internet of Things, and I think there'll be an investment in not only in construction and several new upgrades of technologies, including by the grid, which I can speak to in a few minutes. But I think that there will be a determination to initiate some sort of protocols, an investment in actually in cyber software and training.
Okay. So the grid, you said you were going to bring that up in a minute.
Yeah, I'm saying that because I just published an article this week.
Okay.
And President-elect Trump's key advisor during the campaign and during the transition period has been a person named Jim Woolsey. Many of you will be familiar with him. He was a former CIA director under President Bill Clinton. And Jim Woolsey is a highly respected figure in Washington, D.C. He's an intellectual. He's also a person who's a top lawyer and a strategist. He made his way up through the DOD, and he's listened to. I don't think he wants a position in the administration, but he's an advisor. And one of the key issues that he's been pushing, which is a bipartisan issue, Ted Koppel's also been pushing this, has been a need to upgrade the electrical grid.
Mm-hmm.
As many of you probably don't want to know, that the grid itself is ancient technology. Most of it was built in the 1970s, and it's very vulnerable not only to a cybersecurity attack, which has been several recently, but to basically a sun flare that could knock out our whole grid system. Or if you're looking at strategic EMP, electronic magnetic pulse,
mm-hmm.
attack by someone like a North Korea or Iran, it's very vulnerable and antiquated and connected. So I think what's going to happen, and I think one of the key out-of-the-box issues for this administration is going to be protecting the grid, which is our critical infrastructure's probably backbone.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
I think one of the key out-of-the-box issues for this administration is going to be protecting the grid, which is our critical infrastructure is probably backbone.
Okay, so
it's an amazing area that's sort of been neglected because a lot of the utilities have not wanted to invest in it because they didn't have to. But when you look at the vulnerabilities, which DHS has just done, in the last 2 years, they've actually warned of several cybersecurity attacks on energy companies. It's just a sitting duck, you know, in so many different ways. So if we're going to look at the, you know, starting to build on what the Trump administration might do, because of the relationships he has with advisors and because of the focus it has on basically everything that relates to the infrastructure, I think the grid will be one of the first things that will get bipartisan support.
Yeah. So if you say what he might do, what should he do? Let's put out the word. What should happen right now?
Well, okay. Look, starting with the grid, there should be an investment. There should be a hardening of power plants and generators. There should be stronger protection on the SCADA systems that protect the electrical power plants and a lot of the nuclear, too. Mm-hmm. And it should be basically made redundant for both physical and cyber threats. That'd be the first threat. I think the second thing is that Secretary Jay Johnson, the outgoing Secretary of Homeland Security, said the most biggest threat to us all, and I'm not sure I agree with it, but was phishing attacks from cybersecurity. And certainly it is a huge threat. But what has happened, as you know, is many corporations and agencies, including OPM, have been falling victim to phishing attacks from gangsters, from hackers, and from foreign entities. State entity. So we're extremely vulnerable. So I think one of the first things that needs to be done is to look at where the vulnerabilities are and to stop phishing. Obviously, it's a mixture of training, initiating some sort of protections on the systems and encryption so that something like OPM will never happen again. So I think that's sort of low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, a lot of it's already been done. That's a recommendation also from the commission. So I think that should be done. I also think there should be a follow-up on President Obama's plan to outreach to the private sector, which they've been doing through NIST and DHS, to expand that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're looking at it from a president-elect perspective, I think, you know, where is the best cybersecurity? And it's really in casinos. Casinos have the best physical and cybersecurity of anything in the world. So if you want to rely on the private sector and bring in expertise, you know, go to some of the places that you actually own.
So you're saying bring in the gangsters to help us protect from gangsters?
Not the gangsters, the guys fighting the gangsters.
Gotcha. Yeah.
No, but I think there's a lot of private sector expertise. And one of the things he did say when he was running his campaign, he's going to form a commission. And part of that commission also involves DOD and defense. You know, cybersecurity is such a broad area. Mm-hmm. So I think you bring the civilian and the warfighting capacities of cyber together, you do this commission, bring the best and the brightest, and you do these recommendations, build on what has already happened with the recent recommendations from the Obama-appointed commission, and you sort of integrate it and get an action plan, get it going, you know, mm-hmm. make it happen. You know, because obviously the vulnerabilities and the threats are greater, you know, with denial of service attacks being more and more common, of course, phishing. And you know, a lot of our infrastructure, you say the medical infrastructure, the hospitals virtually have no cybersecurity. You know, mm-hmm. they have not invested in it. They're behind. They're using a variety of different legacy systems. They have, you know, different patients bringing in and all kinds of different electronic devices. So, you know, maybe start with the hospital systems. Look at our healthcare.
Yeah.
Where do you have to fortify? And that might be another place.
So, question, in your research, and I know you're really well connected to a lot of people that do research, how much money does this take? What type of investment needs to be put in, and where does that need to go?
Well, in the grid, it's really not all expensive. It's looking at selective power plants and generators to protect, and also looking at basically upgrading SCADA, which is not a huge cost. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't really have to fortify everything. The military already does it in certain areas that they work at some of their environments. So we could borrow some of the technologies, and they're available. But I think, you know, if you're looking at the greater, bigger systems, like healthcare, which is so vulnerable and it's going digital, that's going to take a huge investment. It's going to be billions, but it doesn't have to be by government alone. It could be done, you know, in conjunction with the private sector. And you basically just, like anything else, you look at the hierarchical needs of where the most biggest vulnerabilities are, and you protect them, mm-hmm. where the most calamity could happen if something happens. And I think the financial institutions already have been doing that. They've been working mostly from private sector investment. So I think, you know, they're still vulnerable in a lot of ways, but they have a lot of systems of redundancy, and they've hired some of the best and the brightest. So that's a good model to use a financial community. Mm-hmm. But, you know, retail is vulnerable too. So, I mean, it will take billions, but, I mean, we're basically, if you look at it, we're switching to a whole different industrial era. Mm-hmm. And everything that was done and connected before is now going to be done through software and digitization. So, you know, it's going to require that investment to compete in the world economy anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an investment in the country.
Do you see, you said investment in the world economy, do you see any other countries that are doing something right that we might look out to and say, hey, here's some examples, we need to do some of this?
Well, I mean, there's several countries that are I mean, if you look at what the United Kingdom just did, mm-hmm. They just put a huge investment into their private sector to promote a lot of technologies and bring them global, and that's a big initiative by the government. I think it's a great initiative, and a lot of it is also to help them compete in this area, because they recognize too that you know, cyber and Internet of Things is where a lot of the global economy is going, that direction too. They have to be able to compete like everyone else. But also countries like Israel, mm-hmm. Small country, but they've turned out a lot of interesting technologies, and they have a formula where they've sort of partnered with mostly American firms, and, mm-hmm. and it's been successful. So I think, and I think India now is looking at restructuring a lot of it. There's a lot of talent, a lot of capabilities there too, but they have a lot of other bigger infrastructure problems in that country with roads and transportations and basic things. But they're also very advanced technology, sort of paradox. And I know that there's an initiative there to sort of bring everything together.
Okay. So any other news there from D.C. that you think is worthy talking about today?
No, I think the big thing is, of course, you know, the appointments. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, there's a lot of angst, and there's a lot of excitement at the same time. So mm-hmm. anytime that happens when there's a new administration.
Yeah.
But I think what's interesting is a lot of the same people are involved in DHS and DOD. Some other agencies change because they're not sort of mission-oriented like these two are. So, but the people are mainly, you know, military and law enforcement are professionals, and the people that work for these agencies are not so ideological. And so I think you're going to see a lot of sort of just building on the past and trying some new initiatives. And the leadership at the top matters. And we'll see. We've had civilian lawyers running DHS now. We'll have a general and see if that makes a big difference. It might. Mm-hmm.
So do you think that, you know, I heard you say we have basically the person running DHS, an ex-attorney. Do you think we need more technologists up there, or, you know, maybe new leadership? We need to look at changing the way we look at things. What's your thoughts there?
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Since the year 2000, BOCOR has had a history of being a leader in the Colorado cybersecurity community. They have served many Front Range customers in both government and commercial industries.
Right now, BoCor is looking for qualified cybersecurity professionals and offering competitive salaries, comprehensive benefit packages, tuition support, and exciting career opportunities working with cutting-edge technology. If this sounds like you, and you have a desire to guide our customers through the treacherous cybersecurity landscape, consider joining the BoCor team. Visit us today at www.bocor.com. That's BoCor.com. BoCor.com.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Do you think we need more technologists up there, or, you know, maybe new leadership? We need to look at changing the way we look at things. What's your thoughts there?
Well, I think a multi-vision of different perspectives is always good. But, I mean, a lot of the early part of DHS is management, and still is a problem. So I could understand the need, you know, to set a framework and integrate, you know, 23 different agencies. So that's a key aspect. But, you know, the Science and Technology Director at DHS, it has been underfunded for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Its job is to basically create products and capabilities using what's available, prototype it, using both mixtures of stuff developed in the labs and by private sector, to make it offer, make, you know, and then maybe to go for procurement, you know, to some of these agencies. So I think if we're looking forward, you know, I'm a big advocate of investing in science and technology, you know, for many reasons, and you know, whether it be NASA or whether it be DHS or be a DoD, because that's really where it gets us to the next century. And that's going to be the differentiators for us in our security and our ability to compete in the world economy. So not everyone feels that way, but I think, you know, we need to invest in you know, just like private sector does. Some of the major big companies like Google and Apple and others spend a huge amount of money in their own R&D, and so does government for the missions that we need to have to do and along with the private together.
You know, I see a contrast there, though, with the government, and I see the same thing happening here in Colorado. I talk to a lot of the people heading up what they're funding for the National Cybersecurity Center they have here, and the thought in government seems to come from a physical asset thought, you know, mindset, where, you know, if we're going to fund something, we want physical assets when we're done. We want something we can value on the books. But cybersecurity and this virtual infrastructure building is not just physical assets. There's going to be, you know, just intellectual property there when they're done funding it. And they have a hard time putting their mind around how to get what they're paying for. I see that as a big kind of a problem area when you're looking at cybersecurity as government-funded. Where do they put their money? They keep leaning towards the institutions that are going to show something on the books in the future, and that's not the build-out of what's needed in the technological era.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, that mindset has been by, you know, legacy programs that have been around for years. And so, you know, maybe there'll be a different mindset. I'm hoping there is because, you know, I think that when John Kennedy launched the space program, you know, his mindset was, okay, let's develop and innovate, and we did. And the outcome of that was immense benefit to our economy, and for a lot of the technology that we have today came out of that program. And so, you know, but people didn't see it initially, and now they do. And I'm hoping the same thing could happen. I mean, you know, DHS and DOD are more, but even DARPA spins out some amazing technologies used for commercial use and for humanitarian aspects. So, you know, everything has a benefit when it's technology, and I think we've entered an era now where there's no turning back. It's everything's changing so fast. Unless we invest and unless we garner the resources to see what's going to evolve in our infrastructure, where we're going to be lost. So we have to change our mindset. It's not just building a bridge or building a plane. It's really looking to what's going to be 2 decades from now.
Yeah, that, and so you mentioned earlier Israel and some other countries that are doing, quite a bit in this area. Do we ever catch up? Do we ever, at the United States level, become a world leader in this area, or are we just behind? Have we missed that bus?
Well, I mean, there's a Pew study that came out that we're really behind in math and science and the world stage now, which is a problem. But a part of the things that we can do to maintain our capability is partnering with these countries. They're not really competing with us. They're augmenting our capability. There was legislation passed for U.S.-Israel cybersecurity cooperation in the last House bill that's going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do the same. And there is a new alliance now, as I said earlier, with the United Kingdom, with U.K. So, these are small countries that are not competing with us on the world stage. So I think we if we partner and work together, we can make up some of the shortcomings.
Does partnering, though, have some political problems? Partnering with the wrong side in somebody else, in another entity's mind, another country's mind. I've heard that same talk about let's partner with Israel, and then I've also heard, whoa, put on the brakes. We have to watch the political aspect of such a partnership with anyone, doesn't matter who, but any one country outside the U.S., if we get in bed with them, then we're perceived as a problem to others. It might not be so friendly to them.
I think that was sort of the old thinking. I think that's changed a lot. I think particularly if you look at the Middle East right now, even you'll see, getting out a little bit of my area, though, but, I mean, Israel's actually opened an office in Dubai, and they're dealing with the UAE and Saudi Arabia behind the scenes, and things have changed in that sense. And people, particularly with the Biden kind of administration coming in, is basically going to do what's best for America, and he's not going to really care so much about the implications of some of these countries would think. If they're democracies and they're allied with the United States, they're probably in better shape than they've been in a while.
Yeah.
It's just basically playing by our rules.
And I do see that a little bit in the administration coming in, that there was a little bit of a, we don't care what the perception is, we're going to do what's right. And I really agree with that.
I mean, that's how you move forward. You can't, because particularly, and there's been, there's also been the other side that we've neglected our allies and friends, particularly, as you mentioned, Israel and UK and some of the others more recently, for more of a globalization perspective. But, I think that, democratic minds will naturally come together and develop together, and that's going to be a benefit.
Yeah. Okay. So here, in Colorado, the National Cybersecurity Center had its inaugural kickoff 3 weeks ago. Lots of buzz here in Colorado. Is there anything on the federal level in D.C. you're hearing about the efforts here in Colorado that say this is the right way, or are they even on the map out there?
Yeah, definitely on the map. I mean, one of the areas of that's talked about is expanding beyond Silicon Valley in Washington, D.C. Is essential. It's a big country. And, Colorado being in the center of the country has a lot to put. They already are involved with NORAD and a lot of the key defense elements of our security. Makes sense to have it there. And, I think you're going to see more and more regional activities, more and more consortiums with universities. There's a lot of challenges, and centers of excellence are going to be more and more relied upon, and it's going to be a team effort. And I like the fact that Colorado is taking the lead.
Yeah, is there any way you see that we can do reach out to bring pieces that are going on in D.C. and plug them into what we see here in Colorado?
Yeah, I mean there's going to be opportunities politically. Done through, first of all, through the congressional delegation, but probably through conferences, and then also through liaison to particularly the DHS and to to other elements, Department of Justice and DOD that are involved in cybersecurity. So, yeah, I can see a lot of opportunities. It's going to take a little bit of effort, but I think there'll be a lot of open-mindedness, and I think there'll be a lot of entities and people here that are interested in hearing what's new.
Yeah, and I guess I would say to anybody listening that's in the D.C. area that would like to get connected, efforts in Colorado, reach out to us and we'll help that plug in. One thing that I wanted to kind of to ask you, I've asked the director of the National Cybersecurity Center here and some other people. Right now, cybersecurity is hot. It's the buzzword. It's everywhere. But you and I both know that this industry isn't always that way, and there'll be times again in the future when we don't even want to talk about it. How do we sustain through into those times? What's your thoughts?
Well, I think it's going to be hot for a while, just because the Internet of Things and connectivity mm-hmm. is expanding, and there'll be a lot of expertise needed. There's still a shortage of people with training. So I think, but the really way to do it is again, STEM programs, education.
Mm-hmm.
There's still not enough people that are looking at it. And, the field itself is so broad. Defining cybersecurity is not easy because, as you know, there's so many different aspects from technology to policy
mm-hmm.
and from endpoints to internet to a whole different kind of perspectives, depending on what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're also going to see a lot of more phishing attacks, like I said, and a lot more problems with ransomware, et cetera, in the next couple of years. So it's not going to go away. And as you know, there's no one antidote to protect everything. So,
I think it's going back into like the younger generation, the grade school, the K-12, educating our younger people to be more involved with STEM is what I heard you say.
I think so. I think it's going to be important. I think as I said, where the world is going. We're moving into a different technological era, and the kids that, they're predisposed already with the use of their communication, to be involved with technology. But I think, there's a fear already with, robots and others taking over jobs. But, I think cyber, robotics, and all kinds of other research areas are going to boom, including energy. So I think any of those areas are great for kids to look at, and STEM is a great thing.
Yeah. Okay, so just in closing here, anything you would like to get out personally about your efforts, your business, what you have going on, go ahead and do so.
Yeah, check out my recent article on protecting the grid. It was published in Brink, and then next week I have a couple more articles coming out. The Hill on Infrastructure, one of them, and another one in Alien Vault on cybersecurity. So, and follow me on Twitter, at Chuck D. Brooks, if you get a chance.
Okay, Chuck, and send me some links. I'll post them with this show when it goes up, okay?
That'd be great.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on today, and look forward to the next time we catch up.
Excellent.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.